Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The green-veined white, the large white, the small white and the orange tip. These butterflies are some of the most common in Ireland, but over the past 16 years, their numbers have plummeted at an alarming rate. The green-veined white, to single out one, has declined by 82% over that period, and others are not far behind it. My next guest and an army of volunteers have been monitoring butterfly numbers in Ireland since 2008, and the news is not good, to say the least. Dr. Liam Lycett, CEO of the National Biodiversity Data Centre, very good morning to you.
Good morning, Philip.
Liam, those four species that I mentioned in my introduction are by no means representative of the larger number of butterflies in Ireland. But why is it that their decline in particular is so alarming to you?
Well, I think something big is happening out there at the moment with regard to insects and the environment. Much of the attention around biodiversity conservation has usually focused on rare and threatened species. But because of the monitoring that we do of butterflies in the countryside, we're now beginning to show that actually the populations of some of our very common and widespread species are faring poorly. So this is evidence, really, that there's a very significant trend in the countryside that we need to be aware of.
And those four species, the green-veined white, the large white, the small white, the orange tip, they don't require specialised habitats. So that would suggest, would it not, that the general environment for species like this is being depleted in some way?
Exactly. Some of these species, the large white and the small white, is probably the bane of many a gardener because they're the butterflies that they'll find on brassicas. But the green-veined white and orange tip, these occur widely in the countryside, and they're quite tolerant, actually, of environmental conditions. So when these are being impacted on, we know that there's actually quite a serious issue.
So give us the numbers then. What are we looking at in terms of decline?
The Irish Butterfly Monitoring Scheme tracks the population of our 15 commonest butterflies in Ireland. And we found that four are in strong decline since 2008, and eight are in moderate decline, and none of the 15 have showed any increase in population since 2008. So the figures are actually quite stark. Overall, populations of butterflies have declined by 55% since 2008.
Loss of habitat, climate change, use of pesticides, more intensive agriculture, is this all of the above?
Well, there are three main drivers of biodiversity decline, and this is across Northwest Europe. So habitat loss or habitat quality is deteriorating. There's a lot less semi-natural grasslands. Grasslands have become managed more intensively. Less diversity in the landscape. Small areas that previously would have been good for wildlife, they've become more productively managed. And even in urban areas, we're managing land more intensively. There's an issue around chemical pollution. Increased atmospheric nitrogen deposition from car exhaust, burning of fossil fuels, nitrogen fertilizer, and the use of herbicides and pesticides. These are having a very big impact. And then the third driver of change is climate change. Now, that's a little bit more complicated because that impacts slightly differently on the different species, but it's certainly kind of messing with the natural life cycles.
Okay, an awful lot to mine into there. Let's just go back to what you were saying about the loss of the quality of habitat. What do you mean by that? Is it the sculpting and the manicuring of nature ends up excluding butterflies?
Yeah, well, you know, basically butterflies need a variety of native plants for them to survive. And areas, you know, in the past there would have been a lot more mixed grasslands, for example. If you mow these regularly, or if you overgraze them, you don't give the species a chance to flower. The diversity drops. Even things like our hedgerows, if we cut them annually, they don't flower. This is not good for biodiversity. You know, we suggest kind of reducing the mowing of parklands, for example. And, as I say, reduced pesticide and herbicide use. Mm.
The European Union has further restricted the use of pesticides more recently. Do you expect to see that have a beneficial impact?
Well, look, anything that we can do to actually reduce the amount of pesticides and herbicides being used is going to benefit insects. I mean, there's a message getting out there. We go to bloom every year, and there's more and more people now understand the impact of using herbicides and pesticides have on biodiversity. So there's a lot of people actually doing it on a voluntary basis. So the reduction will only be beneficial for insect life.
Not using those pesticides and herbicides also has an impact on productivity and agricultural productivity at a point in time when food is getting more and more expensive. Can we marry the two, do you think?
Well, doing beneficial actions for biodiversity on farmland doesn't cost money. And I think that's a narrative we need to get out there. Cutting our hedgerows less frequently and less severely doesn't actually cost money. In fact, it probably saves money. Leaving margins along streams and hedgerows uncut for a number of times doesn't cost money. Reducing, you know, having parts of land in public parks and farmland in your own gardens, which you don't mow as regularly, that's beneficial for insects.
But can you demonstrate that it doesn't cost money to the farmer who is persuaded that productivity being everything, that giving a metre margin around a 20-acre field is actually going to be a fairly significant amount of crop at harvest time that they're not getting?
Well, we were quite fortunate to receive funding from the European Innovation Partnership and the Department of Agriculture. We had a five-year project in Kildare where we got farmers to take positive actions for biodiversity. They didn't actually impact on the farmer's commercial bottom line, and we could show quantitatively that they actually did benefit pollinator insects. So yes, there is evidence there that you can take positive actions for biodiversity that don't impact on the bottom line.
No less than the margins left untouched in a field will help biodiversity. Does doing the same thing in our gardens help, Liam?
Absolutely. I mean, keep your lawn, but if there's parts of your garden that you can reduce mowing on, or actually, you know, mow only once a year, it'll help insects. We only need small patches within gardens to help. So anything you can do, reduce mowing, particularly in April when resources are very scarce, that would be hugely beneficial for insect life.
I wondered, people very often say when they note that, you know, that bush isn't as noisy, there doesn't appear to be as many pollinators around the garden, we can discount it by saying, oh, it's just this year, it's an outlier year, things will restore themselves. What you're saying here is they haven't, and that if you think that you're noticing a difference, it is actually confirmed by the figures that you're collecting.
Well, the importance of long-term monitoring is that actually we can look at quantitative data, and we can actually make a distinction what are short-term impacts due to localized habitat change or poor weather, for example, and the longer trend. So having data spreading back until 2008, it shows that the long-term decline is real. So it's the value of scientific monitoring is really important for us.
OK, all undisputed fact at this stage then. Dr. Liam Lycett, CEO of the National Biodiversity Data Centre, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Let's take a break.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.